Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Let's see. Ryan's in, maybe. Joe is out, maybe. We got a lot to talk about with you today, folks. Welcome to the show. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy. 407-678-3399 is his number. Mercury Free is the name of his book, and Great Dentistry is the name of his game. The name of our game, folks, is to bring it to you straightforward and with a little bit of sugar. Speaking of sugar, Mike McBath, the chairman of the board himself, is in the studio with me tonight.
Chris, I was thinking, with all these people trying to get elected to different positions, I'm surprised Charlie Crist hasn't tried to jump in for maybe presidential candidate or something. Because what is he, a senator, a congressman?
Hey, don't count him out. Looks like he's going to be a member of the House of Representatives.
At least put him in a debate to have five fools up there instead of just one.
Well, you know? I thought we were going to, but he didn't want to get in, so we'll talk about that in a minute. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. We got a special guest in the studio with us today. Actually, two special guests, one you know, one you don't know, one who's been on the show with us a few times, also participated in our spaghetti-eating contest. Going to get him in the pizza-eating contest, and that would be Chris Kassler, who is executive director at the did I get that one right?
Yeah. Legal Immigrants for America.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here again.
Yeah, and he's brought with him today a fellow that you will be able to see here and meet tomorrow night at Doc's Streetside Grill, and we'll be talking extensively with him a little bit later on, but I want to welcome to the show today Steve Coughlin. Thanks for being with us, Steve.
Thank you for having me here.
All right. And we do have a lot to talk about. And as I said, you can give us a call. In the meantime, you can see what we're up to here this evening by going to YouTube, type in Periscope, P-A-R-I-S-C-O-P-E, and then you'll be able to see what we're doing today. If you want to check out our archive, go to Adversaries TV at YouTube, because General Lucas Paris has things up and running tonight.
Thank you.
All right, and before we get to the meat of it, Mike, you're not going to be with us tomorrow night. We're going to have to maybe do a contest next Thursday.
I know. We'll come up with a good one. I'm going again over to Destin, Florida. We do, our NFL Player Association, as you know, is a national organization. We're in every NFL city. It's made up of former players, and we do a lot of charity work, and we're doing another event for the Wounded Warriors group, and we just completed one recently here in Orlando. It was the world's largest golf tournament, and they did it on 100 golf tournaments throughout the United States.
All on the same day.
Over $1 million
that day.
That
was their goal, yeah.
But I had a little story about a Marine, and I just mentioned that there was a U.S. Marine recently who entered the Catholic Church's confessional booth in Jacksonville, Florida. And he told the priest, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." He said, "Last night I beat the hell out of a flag burner and a Clinton supporter." Well, the priest says, "My son, I am here to forgive your sins, not to discuss your community service."
Oh! All right. Thank you, Mike McBath.
That's why I'm a big supporter of the military.
Chairman of the board. All right. By the way, folks, we certainly would appreciate your continued help, and you folks have been very generous so far, and let's keep the momentum going. Help us save the babies. This is a special effort that the Salem Media Group is running this week here at the station, and you can help by going to AMC. 660theanswer.com. There's a menu selection there that you can see how your money is going to be spent, or you can make up your own donation amount. Any amount will do, and you can commit it right there at am660theanswer.com. There's also now an 800 number that you can call, and it's 800-357-1997, 800-357-1997. You know, help us save the babies. We've been talking about it all week long. We'll continue this week. But all of this goes to help pay for ultrasounds for women who can't afford them. Whether they're considering an abortion or not, they're there for women who would, you know, like to carry their babies to term or who are considering abortions. And once they see those little kids inside them, they realize that it is a baby. It is a human being. So please help us keep this momentum going, and go to am660theanswer.com and or call 800-357-1997. Help us save the babies. And the big event happened this morning at the Rose Garden at the White House. When I heard that Obama was going to be with Biden, it kind of didn't seem right. That it would be so sort of in your face for Obama to be there were Biden to declare he was going to run. So I started to get that feeling that, no, he's not going to run, just a few minutes before he came out. And he pretty quickly said he wasn't going to run. And then he went into about a 20-minute speech that sounded every bit like he was going to run. Now, maybe he just wanted to get it out of his system or something like that. Or maybe he was just sort of leaving the door, just maybe just a little crack in the door, right? If something were to collapse on the Clinton side. Certainly this was good news for the Clinton camp. I bet there's a lot of sad faces in the White House tonight, because they certainly, I'm convinced, wanted Biden to run. And, look at that picture.
That looks like a Halloween picture.
Oh, my God. Talking about the Wicked Witch of the
Wicked
West.
Wicked Witch and Dumbo.
Exactly, yeah.
Dumbo
Chris
and
Kassler's
the Wicked Witch.
Showing us a picture of former Secretary of State when she was Secretary of State. Remember when she had that sort of hag hairdo and everything? Joe Biden.
One thing, Chris, that concerns me with this taking place tomorrow is Hillary's going to be flying on, you know, she's going to be flying high, boy. She's going to come out there and start, you know, whamming things all over the place and styling and profiling. And I hope they just whack her down real quick, you know, because, you know, she can be a nasty sweetheart.
Well, that's something that we'll be taking up with Steve Coughlin a little bit later on, but I'm not going to get my hopes up. As a matter of fact,
that's discouraging, Chris.
I'm thinking now that perhaps we may see the opposite, where there's a sort of a real polite kit glove atmosphere, so as not to appear too partisan, you see. You see, this is part of the problem with Republicans, and this is why guys like Donald Trump and Ben Carson are massacring, and the new polls are out again today, folks, and they are massacring the field.
You know what, Chris, if this is a kid gloves type situation, they're just going to help Don Trump tremendously.
Well,
Here's why.
Because we are sick and tired of our politicians who we elect to be our adversaries. They're our adversaries for us. And they go up there and they're not adversaries for us. They end up being lecturers to us, telling us why they can't be adversaries for us. You see, they have abdicated their role as being true American adversaries. Now, a lot of you folks have tuned into this show. Used to be, especially when we only did the show on Sunday night, when I'd start every show, I'd describe why we call the show The American Adversaries. And I'm putting together, as a matter of fact, a new little intro that's going to kind of do that for us, just in case people wonder. But no one seems to call and ask, so maybe people kind of get it. But here's what I said. We, that means all of us, are American adversaries, because ours is an adversarial form of government. A form of government purposely designed by our founding fathers inspired by our creator and purposely designed by our founding fathers so that we may not have to endure a tyrannical form of government, which has been the norm throughout history. But just as our judicial system, it's our responsibility to be informed, to carry out the debate in a vigorous fashion and allow the voters or the jury or whoever to decide who the winner is. And by the way, because this is the exception in human history. That's where the phrase American exceptionalism found its birth. Because our adversarial form of government is the exception in human history. And it can only function properly when you have true, honest-to-God adversaries. And that's what we have been missing. That's what we are finding in guys like Donald Trump, Ben Carson, who is a soft-spoken but a hard hitter, and even Ted Cruz.
Chris, and when you mentioned those numbers today, I mean, they're just blowing north for Trump. And I believe that what's going to happen even more, that Trump may get into one of these runs and supporters just like Obama did, you know, for the great coronation. There's a point everybody's going to be fed up if this thing doesn't come off right tomorrow.
Well, speaking of coronations, that's what we may be beginning to see.
Yeah.
Is this what was, you know, billed to be the coronation of Hillary Clinton? And don't get carried away. Oh, Bernie Sanders raised money. Bernie Sanders is what we call around here enhancement talent.
Yeah.
He's in there to look like he's a tough guy, but really in the end only to get his brains beaten out.
Yeah.
So that then they can go, look at that champion Hillary. Oh, isn't she so tough? Look what she did to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Get ready for it. Unless we see some true adversarial action tomorrow. And like I said, I'm not getting my hopes up.
Bernie Sanders is like the Washington Generals, you know, when they used to always play basketball. They would lose every single game,
they,
you know, to the Globetrotters.
Just good enough, though. Just good enough, though, to make it kind of competitive,
yeah,
right?
That's what I mean. All he is, I call it some lackey. You put on stage, you beat the heck out of him. You can, if you want to embarrass him, you got the opportunity to do. If not, leave it alone. And now she's really rolling. So
Yeah. So, then the new polls are very complimentary to her as well. And not only is Trump massacring the field, she's massacring the field as well.
But there is no field.
Well,
even though there is, but there is no field.
How shallow it may be, she is running away. And now, of course, with Biden out of it, at least for the time being, you never say never in politics. Especially when he says, no, I'm not in it, but then gives you a speech like he is in it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there now, other than to say the White House, I'm sure, is scurrying around for a plan B. Because, as I've said, this changes nothing. Obama looked very forlorn today as he stood there next to Biden. And it was bad news, I'm sure, for him. They were putting their, I believe, they were counting on him to take on Hillary and take down Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And now that task is going to be left to the Republicans. And if I was Barack Obama, I would be looking forlorn, too, if the task were going to be left to the Republicans.
There'll be a lot of embarrassing questions.
Time and time again, they have shown they're not up to the task. You know, and I'm so afraid that tomorrow it will be the same thing. And by the way, it will be public. We will be able to watch it. And it could turn out to be a great day for Hillary Clinton. Having said that, in the end, I still think that most of the Republican field would at least give her a good run for the money, if not outright clobber her. We shall see. And, of course, as I said, now if something were to happen, maybe Joe is not entirely out of this thing.
Isn't it always a shame you couldn't have a lie detector attached to her arm? You know what I mean? And somebody's just pushing the button all the time. She'd probably never get a word out of her mouth. It'd be going, bam, bam,
I'll tell you.
Bam.
I'd say that should be standard with all politicians.
I mean,
depending on the alarm. Depending on the alarm. Anyway, in the next hour of the show, I'll get into the debate numbers themselves. Suffice it to say that she is going to start slamming the door on Bernie, who, by the way, was never going to sail in the South anyway. In the Midwest, his message, being a communist, we still ain't communists down here, you folks up yonder, okay, who might be communists down here, we ain't. We're still God-loving, gun-gripping Americans and proud of it. Thank you very much.
Well, Chris, you know, it's Back to the Future Day, so this could honor Bernie Sanders. You
this
know,
is Back to the Future Day.
That's
right.
So Bernie's, this is his high, man. He has to be flying high tonight. Recognition, you know.
Now, this was Back to the Future 3, wasn't it? Back to the Future 2 or 3?
But the day, October 21st, 2015, it was back 30 years ago, and that's when all the predictions came out, you know.
All right. Was that the one with the ZZ Top in the
That was the third one.
Okay.
They did protect a baseball team in Florida back then, and they ended up with it. So.
Yeah. Well,
some of the things
that
they put forth were pretty good.
Hey. All right, life imitating art. Okay, stick around. When we come back, we're going to introduce you to Stephen Coughlin, and we're going to bring him into this conversation, too, because I'm pretty sure he's got some thoughts on tomorrow's hearings. We'll explain why when we get back.
Pretending that you're still around to be what I'm not. I'm pretending a lot, pretending that Bernie's still around.
That's Mike McBath. Send your complaints to MikeMcBath.com. Yeah.
Yeah. No, keep your day job.
Yeah, we got our own crooner here, and that's the chairman of the board at former NFL Players Association, Mike McBath, and he'll be ducking out a little bit later on to go to host the
meeting.
Yeah, you'll be the national rep and then the
right.
local
and then
president.
We have our local president, and yeah. We have actually about 18,000 former players around the United States.
Yep.
And so it's always fun.
Pretty elite crowd.
Yep.
All right, just like the crowd we got in the studio with us tonight. Once again, folks, Chris Kassler of Legal Immigrants for America is in with us tonight. You can see them and some videos that they're doing now, right?
Right.
Tell them the YouTube channel.
Well, it's right on the LIFA site, golifa.com on the front page. One of the first things you'll see is Chris Hart's beautiful face.
Oh, my God.
And if you click on his photograph, it'll tell you to do this. You click on his photograph, it'll take you to a link to the video that we only shot on Monday, but it's on the web this morning. So go take a look. It's a 3-minute video. It really sums up our position on national security and illegal immigration, which is a very important issue today.
I thought the point was to get people to watch it, not to get people to go, oh, my God, who would want to see that?
You do have a face for radio. There's
it
no
is
question.
Halloween.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks for all the abuse, right?
All right. Also in the studio this afternoon, and you'll be able to meet this gentleman and hear him speak tomorrow night. The doors open at 6:30 at Dock Streetside. Of course, that's on South Orange, right across from the hospital down there. And it is free. And the man is an author, former Army intelligence, served in Central Command, has been sought after since he's gotten out of the Army Reserve as an intelligence analyst. He now has an organization called Unconstrained Analytics. Once again, welcome to the show, Stephen Coughlin. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, before we get too far into this, just during the break, you were talking about creating space. Can you tell the listeners what you were talking about there?
Well, creating space in politics is where you have someone who, if you consider yourself, for example, very conservative or very liberal, you're going to find an outlier who's way, way more conservative or way, way more liberal, like Bernie Sanders is to Hillary Clinton, so that you can maintain these narratives that make you appear to be a centrist by fighting off drawing the line with Bernie Sanders, when in fact you've just drawn the line 3 degrees to the left of where it used to be. So what happens when you have someone like Bernie Sanders run is it creates space for that for the other liberal to make them appear moderate.
This might be why some donors would give money to both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, say, right? They would want to set up that situation for one or the other.
Correct.
All right. First of all, Unconstrained Analytics. What is that, and why that name?
Well, my background is I have a background in international law, international business, and I was a reserve officer, and I was mobilized onto active duty because of Desert Storm. And I realized very early on when I was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff Intelligence Directorate that we were not really following the intelligence process. And if you get the very basic document on intelligence for officers, it's what's called the IPB manual, Intelligence Preparation of the Battlefield or Intelligence Preparation of the Battle Space. And it required the intelligence officer to use that their analysis of the enemy must be unconstrained by your personal preferences or how you would like to understand them, that you can't constrain your analysis of them. Well, what I found when I was in the Pentagon or at Central Command or other places is that they were completely constrained. We were not allowed to talk about Islam against an enemy that said that against an enemy who explicitly defines the basis of his activities on Islam, and more importantly, derives his tactics and strategies from Islam. And so unconstrained analytics goes to the issue that we're going to do analysis that answers the question based on facts, published threat doctrines, and the statements of the enemy as applied to their understanding of Islam as they operate. And, of course, when I was doing that in the Pentagon and in the private sector, it just simply outclassed everything else.
So let me see if I got this. What you're trying to say is unconstrained means you are looking at this from the enemy's perspective.
You must look at it the way the enemy looks at it. You must understand Islam the way he understands it when he makes statements about Islam. And, you know, I tell people, relax, I'm not asking you to make a statement about what true Islam is. I'm asking you to make an analysis based on how he understands Islam. Now, the fact that you cannot prove that his understanding of Islam is wrong will let other people make that decision. But the fact of the matter is that is how he understands it. And we could get book after book after book of books published by Muslims on Islamic law written for Muslims that says exactly what Al-Qaeda says. It says exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood says. It says it word for word. In fact, half the time you read what they're saying, we can read the book they got it out of because it's word for word. And these are books on Islamic law that were first published 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. And so my point is, if you want to understand why someone joins the Islamic State, ISIS, you have to understand how they understand it. And then you'll find out that the reason they get people to join is not because the people who are joining believe that it's a radical interpretation.
In so many ways in life, and we've used this phrase over and over here on the show since we've been on the air over 5 years now, and that is that, in particular, we use it normally in relation to politics, but that perception is reality. Their perception of Islam is the reality that we have to deal with. Is that what we're saying here?
And that's exactly right. And I'm saying that operates on two levels, the level at which it's their reality, and you must, as an intelligence officer, start with that. The enemy is who he says he is. But then there's the other reality is it true? Because, you know, if it wasn't true, you would have had a whole bunch of imams knock them out of the block.
Long time ago.
And the simple fact of the matter is they can win the shootout, the doctrinal shootout, with their moderate friends, and they do. And so what you find when you go to the Middle East, to Arab countries, Muslim countries, the ones that are our closest allies and friends aren't the ones who want to get in that shootout. They want to change the discussion. And those are the people we need to be looking at.
Okay. Well, we'll find out who they are and a lot of other fascinating things from Stephen Coughlin. And once again, you can see here and meet him tomorrow night at Dock Streetside.
France! I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Chris, one of my golf partners.
Your old buddy, Jim Duggan.
I know, I'll never forget. We were playing at Aliquah. He tees off. The head of the club goes into the swimming pool. The back of the club goes into the swimming pool. I said, Jim, I've never seen such a horrible shot in 10 years there. But
hey, that's
a great guy.
That's a pretty slick trick.
Oh, I know. I mean, not a very talented golfer, but certainly a great entertainer.
Yeah, and very intelligent as well.
Yep.
As are our listeners, and we appreciate you for being out there listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. And AM660TheAnswer.com is where you can go tonight, folks, to help us save the babies. Be a part of this campaign. I implore you, I beg you to do whatever you can. Start with prayer and work up from there. Save the Babies is sponsored by Salem Media Group, and of course, all the money raised goes to help great organizations, pregnancy centers like True Life Choice. And if you've been listening earlier today when Michael Medved was normally on the show, you heard some great testimonies all throughout that show. So please go to am660theanswer.com or you can call at 800-357-1997. That's 800-357-1997. And please help us save the babies. You'll be glad you did. And someday, who knows, you might be walking down the street. You won't even know it, but you might be walking past a baby that you helped save. That's how great God works. All right, am660theanswer.com, 800-357-1997. Thank you, folks, who have already helped out. We really appreciate it. Let's keep the momentum going. All right, we're talking with Stephen Coughlin. He's former intelligence officer. He's an attorney, and he's obviously very schooled in Islam. His organization is called Unconstrained Analytics. You can visit him at unconstrainedanalytics.org. You can also find him on YouTube. And Stephen, I want to kind of divert a little away from what we were just talking about. We're going to come back to it, but I want to ask you about these hearings tomorrow. You're an intelligence former intelligence man. Obviously, you had clearance of some level anyway, and you are a lawyer, so you understand legal ease, if you will. From the facts that you know, just that's already been out there concerning Hillary Clinton and the emails and State Department business and classified security clearances and things like that, did she go over the line, legally speaking? Has she broken the law? And if not, what level of violation has she managed to incur here?
Well, I'll answer it like this. I was an intelligence officer, and I was in the Pentagon. And while there, when you get a security clearance, you have to be debriefed, and you have to sign what the liability is, what you could go to jail for.
So it's a legal document that spells this out, basically.
And every time, and usually at least once a year, you have to go through what's called an indoc, the indoctrination, where you have to go through a briefing that people sleep through because it's the 100th time you've been through it, where they say, we can send you to jail for this. You cannot put official government correspondence on a private email system. That's against the law. You cannot put classified information on unclassified systems. That is staggeringly against the law. And the thing about it is,
whether she knew they were classified or not,
well,
according to her.
In the legal world, the term is strict scrutiny. You are responsible for the documents you're handling. Now, that means you are responsible to know what is or is not classified. Now, we may be talking about a situation where she's looking at her email and didn't know that someone put a classified document on her email. But then it's her private email system, so then she has there would have to be responsibility for that.
But Steve, isn't she guilty just by the fact she has a private email system?
Well, I don't understand.
For that, no matter what came through.
I think I would be in jail within minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think she's guilty just by what she did, within minutes of the finding being there.
Yes.
Right.
I can't understand.
No matter what's on emails.
I don't understand what the lag is here. But, you know, let me say this. I don't want to say what the names of them are, but you could work at a desk. There's reasons why I'm not going to say what it is. You have something called Nippernet, which is unclassified. You have another computer, which I won't say what it is, which holds secret information. And there's another computer system that has top secret intelligence information. And they're all on different systems, so that you would have to physically take a classified document off a classified system and then put it in the unclassified system. If you did that in the Pentagon on the Nippernet, that's a crime. But she took it, what we're told, what I'm hearing on the news,
right,
and I'm commenting on that.
Correct.
That classified information, either she did it or someone in furtherance of her authorization, it would seem, took classified information and put it on an unclassified private system. I mean, that's staggeringly illegal. And we send people to, there are privates, lieutenants, and captains and majors and sergeants who are in jail for something like that. And, you know, if you take a look at Snowden, if I'm the Chinese and I know she's putting classified information on an unclassified system, you have to understand that they're bringing all force to bear to look at that. And I just, the idea that this is even being cast as something that could be accidental, when it the fact of its happening is itself the crime, it's what they would call strict liability. And everybody who gets cleared for classified information signs that they've been debriefed, that they've been informed of that, they've been told what these documents are and how they're classified.
Chris, I'm for sending Steve up to the hearing tomorrow instead of our congressman, because he obviously knows a lot more than our congressman.
Well, he read my mind. I was just going to ask, Steve, you heard what I said earlier on the show. You were sitting right there. Do you have much confidence that this hearing tomorrow is actually going to bring these type things out?
I have long since not had too much confidence in oversight hearings in Congress, and And the disappointing part of it is that now that the Republicans have taken control, I have even less.
Oh, so encouraging, Steve.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Let's get fired up.
That's just what I was saying earlier in the show about them not being true adversaries. Go ahead.
The code to watch for is if the oversight entity, if the chairman of the oversight entity subpoenas you, if you're in the FBI, subpoenas you if you're in the Department of Defense or in state, then you get to answer and say what you believe the situation to be. But if you're not, and you are automatically entitled to an attorney at government cost, if you are not subpoenaed, your job is to answer according to the policy of the directorate you work for. That's just the way it should be. You can't have individuals from the FBI go off to Congress and say what they want. But the point becomes, when you realize that the committees will not subpoena people from DHS, people from the FBI, people from DOD to say what they think, where they have now protections that adhere to them, then you have to suspect that they're not really serious in those oversight hearings.
I guess I'm not going to watch them tomorrow.
Well,
very disillusioning.
We shall see, but certainly that's not doesn't inspire confidence. But you mentioned the FBI. Of course, they're looking into this as well. Do you have more confidence in the FBI? I would feel like that at least those guys will give a report to the Attorney General that she then will do whatever with, but that they will be thorough. Do you think?
Well, I don't think it's often an issue of what that military officer on the ground, what that special special agent in the FBI or DHS will do. I think it's a question of what the people who, as you move up, will allow them to do and whether or not they will take the action to do it, to include letting them actually investigate something real. I think that the FBI, I think that the special agents, if they're authorized to go do this, would do it. I mean, I would not have too much concern about that.
Yeah. And
I mean, this is such a government that doesn't follow the laws, as we know, with Sanctuary City and all these type of situation, that it just, I just hope this thing isn't hopeless, that this is just an exercise in futility.
Well, I'm off my topic on this. I'm just, familiar with how to handle classified information.
But I wanted to take advantage of that, but that's very enlightening.
I think we're in difficult times, and I think that, I get into some fights when I'm in Washington, D.C., because I keep saying to some people, you don't get to talk about what Obama's doing until you understand that your leadership on the Republican side has allowed it to happen. And so long as they're rolling over on a regular, predictable level, you don't get to talk about them. You need to talk. You don't get to talk the deep battle when the close battle is where you're getting taken out.
All right. Well, that kind of brings us back to your expertise. You're talking about, by the way, we're speaking with Stephen Coughlin, and you can find his work at unconstrainedanalytics.org, and you can also see him. He has some great YouTube videos, and I want to get to those here in just a couple of minutes. And, of course, you can see and meet him tomorrow night. Again, get his book at Doc's Street Side Grill. It's 6:30 is when doors open. It's free to see the presentation. And, of course, you can eat there before or after. And it's free parking. And, Stephen, you were mentioning that to really understand the enemy and what we're up against, we can't sort of imagine how we would like the world to be. For instance, Islam being a religion of peace, we have to look at it the way they see it and the way they are practicing it. You just mentioned President Obama. Obviously, we don't think that he sees the world correctly. I want to get your opinion on that. But then again, the administration before him, after 9/11, seemed to go out of their way to make it seem as though we weren't really at war with Islam. Do you think that was the correct strategy, or was that somehow off base and began the process of misleading people or continuing that process?
Well, I think that when you take a look, when I answer a question like that, what comes to my mind is what has been going on and influencing people as they make these decisions. And I bring up the fact that we have to understand the role, what the nature of Islamic warfare is and what the main effort is. And we all know how to say jihad. But there's not just jihad, there's something called dawah, and that's the subversion phase, to penetrate into organizations and subvert them. And that always precedes the jihad action. And in their concept of war, that's the main effort, because their goal is with a couple bombs, you know, knock over the other enemy because you sap their will. And in that entity, in that reality, who is the player that caused President Bush to veer his eyes off of keeping himself threat focused, and who has consistently move themselves into the center of power in a certain sense?
Well,
and to me, that's the Muslim Brotherhood. And what you find is most people don't know who the Muslim Brotherhood is, and they don't understand who they are in America. But for example, the Council on American Islamic Relations was formed out of Hamas, and Hamas is the Muslim Brotherhood out of Palestine. You have something called the ISNA, Islamic Society in North America. You have something called MPAC, Muslim Public Affairs Council. You have something called the IIIT, the International Institute of Islamic Thought. You could go down all these organizations, and you could get U.S. government documents that were seized by the FBI and used as evidence in the U.S. by the U.S. Justice Department to show that this is the Muslim Brotherhood. And on a document that was admitted to a federal court of law, they say right there, our job is to get close to you and get you to subvert yourself by working with us. And so if you go to the local college campus and you see the Muslim Student Association, the MSA, you see that CARE is at the protest, you see that ISNA is running the mosques, you're looking at a situation where the Brotherhood is running the show as far as what the public face of Islam is.
How deep into our government do these people go? You're talking about independent organizations, so supposedly, but how deep into our government? Because we hear, like, one of the national security advisors for Barack Obama is a Muslim, and so how deep does the Muslim Brotherhood go into our government?
Well, you know, I would make a distinction, because in theory, there could be nothing wrong with a Muslim being in the government. The problem would be,
how do you know?
The problem, you can't always know a lot of things, but here's what you can know. Are those people affiliated with the Brotherhood, or are they close to it? And in that instance, if we can show, for example, in 2007, I was in the Pentagon, and all of a sudden people came up to me and they said, Steve, did you read that article that's coming out next month? And like, by the 10th time you run into something, did you read about the article that's coming out next month in a foreign affairs magazine called The Moderate Muslim Brotherhood? Well, that's when we realized, oh, there's a policy shift coming in here, because we're being told to read something that's been released. And, of course, what happened is that's when Condoleezza Rice, that's when the U.S. shifted their strategy and said the Moderate Muslim Brotherhood was going to be the counterweight to radical al-Qaeda. And then within a year, you had Judge Chertoff under the Bush administration at DHS say, here's the words we can no longer use to analyze the threat. So I'm one of those people who says, yes, it's bad under this administration, but actually the banning of that language happened in the last administration.
I know, it drives me nuts.
And you want to talk about how bad things are in Syria with what we're doing, and I think it's catastrophic. The name of my book is Catastrophic Failure. But everything we've seen the Obama administration do, we've seen McCain and Lindsey Graham over there running point on. And so I think people need to get comfortable with the fact that there's something wrong with our national security establishment writ large, and so that you cannot have any guarantee that a change in administration would change anything. And that would be my, you know, if I'm a dose of bad news today, at least I can put data points behind it.
But,
real talk.
You want to talk about a contradiction in terms, Moderate Muslim Brotherhood, right?
Well,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, but you know, that worked. And so all of a sudden we brought the Brotherhood in to help us understand the enemy. And now what articles are coming out right now? Check this out. The moderate al-Qaeda is the counterweight to ISIS. Well, right. ISIS is al-Qaeda. Lord. And so you know what's happening is we're positioning ourselves that way.
So these are policy positions, in essence.
Policy shifts, yes.
That are being pushed on the government at large.
Yep. What's the motive?
Well, I think for 90% of the people who do this stuff, they're just plainly unaware. And that's a nice word, unaware.
All right, we have to take a break. Once again, what was the name of your book again?
Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad.
Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad. You can get those books tomorrow night at Doc's Streetside Grill. Stephen's going to stay with us for another segment or so, and you can join us as well. We got a caller on the line. We'll take his call and yours as well. 407-774-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. 407-774-8255 is the number. We don't have a lot of time in this segment because we went long in the last segment. Got a caller on the line. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thanks for calling. And your question, please, or comment.
Yes, I want to ask him about Dawah and the interfaith meeting.
Okay, Dawah and the interfaith meeting.
Stephen, is that a form of Dawah?
Yes, it is a form of dawah, and you know, this is a term I know it's unfamiliar to a lot of people, and it's a strange word, so people have a hard time making it stick. But if you go into most books and look up the word dawah, we'll say Muslim proselytization. And of course, that is a mirror image of what we would think it would be as Christians or Jews. Okay, but dawah actually is much more. If you look at the coat of arms of the Muslim Brotherhood, at the bottom there's something in Arabic. It's a little glyph, and it says, when you translate it, against them make ready. And that's a direct reference to Quran verse 860. And it's against them make ready your the utmost of your power, including steeds of war, to strike terror into the hearts of the enemy. And that's what they mean when they say the preparation stage. It's the preparation stage where you do that. And so this is the dawah phase. It is, they do want people to convert then, but really the job is to undermine the other structure so that they can destroy it.
And so that's what we're going through right now.
That's the dawah phase, and that's why
we're
the brotherhood
that phase.
And that's why the brotherhood has the primary role in America.
Did I read right that you're going to talk about that 3:30 tomorrow too?
Yes, I'll put it in the context of the interfaith movement.
Can you just explain real quickly the interfaith movement?
Well, one of the things that I would note when I would do these analysis and assessments.
Thank you, Mike, for the call.
One of the things I would notice when you do these assessments is whenever you put a lot of pressure on the Brotherhood, and their job is to hit on the media, they're always the Muslim voice on the media. They're always the people
right.
on Capitol Hill.
They're the face. They're the
face. They're the face. And one of the things is we talked to Muslims abroad, and they couldn't believe that was true when we said it, and they realized it was true. They're, oh my gosh, you have the Brotherhood representing Islam? But what you have is, oh, I lost track of my thought.
Well, no, the Brotherhood representing Islam, go ahead.
What you find is they'll have a thing where they'll bring in local politicians and people running for Congress, and right there on the dais will be a priest, a minister, and a rabbi. And I would think, like, what the frick is that all about?
Right.
And so I started to look at this because clearly they have that sewn up. And what it is they actually have, they've penetrated into the major establishment groups in the Christian and Jewish communities, the mainstream Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish groups, through the interfaith movement, and got them to do their bidding. Now, one of the things that I found out looking into the interfaith—
Useful idiots.
Well, yes. In one paper I wrote, and I won't get into the details of it, I called it The Death of Discernment. And the question became, the research that turned up for me was, almost every group, interfaith organization that I was confronting by name, something like Voices of Virginia, you would look at their URL or you would look at their email, and it had IAF in it. And they would say they're an IAF affiliate. So I said, what is the IAF? And it's the Industrial Areas Foundation. Do you know who founded the Industrial Areas Foundation?
Brotherhood.
No. Saul Alinsky.
Oh, great.
Oh, my gosh.
So the thing that I realized was the death of discernment was people who are full-time engaged in the interfaith movement from the respective religions, by virtue of being in this movement, have already lost the discernment to be able to understand threats.
Yeah, right.
And that's the point of penetration.
Looking at the big, big picture, what did you think of our president's Iranian deal? Is this death to America?
This is one of those, you don't get to talk about what Obama did with this deal because you still have to talk about the fact that Corker Senator Corker, the Corker Agreement.
I know.
Okay.
We've talked about
it. We've talked about
it. To me, this is staggering that you had the Republican leadership stand up and turn their backs on their Article I authority under the Constitution and Article I responsibility under the Constitution to look at this and made it impossible to stop it. And then they could turn around making it impossible to stop it and go up to the constituents and say, we did everything we could to stop it.
Right.
This is where
we've been calling them on that. Yeah,
you can't. My thing is, at a certain point, that means they were in on this,
right?
Including
being given space to pretend that they were trying to stop it,
right?
Excellent. That's evil.
It is indeed. Excellent analysis. Stephen Coughlin, tomorrow night, Dock Street Side Grill. Doors open 6:30. It's free. You got to go see this man, folks, and get his books for yourself and buy some books for other folks. We need to get the word out, because they're hard at work undermining our way of life, our form of government, our Judeo-Christian heritage. We have to stop them, but you got to be informed.
Ladies and gentlemen, step it right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll of the honey. I'm a roll of the honey, and you can't keep up with me.
Welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show. Thanks for being out there, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, coming at you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free, which will explain why he is a mercury free dentist and you need to be mercury free. All right, we need to be free of the Dawa. Wasn't that something? My God.
Talk about a thought-provoking hour. I mean, that was absolutely, it's terrifying.
It is.
When you really delve into the different areas that he's talking about, which most people have no knowledge about and will probably never get exposed to.
Well, they can fix it to get exposed to it in a negative sort of fashion.
Yeah, they listen to the American Adversaries, they'll hear it. But.
But we're far along in the process of Dawa, and it ain't a good thing to be far along in. And to know that the Republicans are in cahoots with the Democrats to not only tolerate this, but to facilitate it.
That's right. Now, do we want our friend Ryan?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man, you talk about a
St. Pauli girl.
You know, we're all in the same party, right? No, we're not. You know, we need outsiders.
Yeah, we definitely
do. We need a lot of outsiders.
Give me Trump or give me death.
Yeah. That may become the call before it's over.
I tell you what. All right, speaking of calling, you can call us at 407-774-8255. And don't forget, you can call 800-357-1997 to help us save the babies. Or you can go to am660theanswer.com. And I'll be talking about this a little more as the hour goes along. But, of course, all of this money goes to help out pregnancy centers like True Life Choice, who provide sonograms and other services for women and girls who cannot afford it, whether they're considering an abortion or not. And many of the girls who go there are considering abortions. 80% of them come out saving the babies. So help us save the babies. AM660TheAnswer.com. 800-357-1997. I hope you heard the interview in the last hour we were just referring to with Stephen Coughlin. If you didn't, you can, of course, hear it at our archives after the show, but you can also see and hear him tomorrow night live at Dock Street Side. I suggest you go out and get some of his books. They'll have them for sale there as well. The event is free, and it obviously will be very, very educational. And this is the stuff we need to know, and I spoke with Stephen off the air, and we're going to get him back on the show perhaps on a regular basis, because obviously this is pertinent stuff. And the task, obviously, is of cleaning this mess up is going to come from the outsiders. It's not going to come from within government.
No, you're not going to hear that story from inside the government. Just
government,
impossible.
Let's just put it this way. Our government has been compromised.
Mm-hmm.
It has. If there was a need for the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers saw it, and it is now.
It is now.
Chris, when they won't even abide by their own laws in this sanctuary city situation, you know, I mean, we have just run so far asunder. I mean, something has to be done.
Something has to be done. Let's go to JJ. She's been so patiently waiting. JJ, thank you for calling tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Great guest, Chris.
Thank you.
Appreciate you having him on and his wealth of information. I didn't realize he was going off. I tuned in late. But I think one of the things that I'm going to ask him if I can go to him tomorrow night is the interface thing. Have you heard of the term Chrislam?
Yes, that's part of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think that's what he was referring to.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's watering down Christianity on our, you know, and trying to make it palatable, and it's basically lifted all the good things out of Christianity and make, you know, that's why so many people think, oh well, it doesn't matter if you worship Allah or God, it's all the same God, and it's not.
No, it ain't. No, it ain't. God ain't. Allah ain't no God at all. Allah is the incarnation of Satan, let me tell you. I mean, no loving, true creator of human beings would raise up a whole race of them to slaughter the rest of them. That's just absolute insanity. It is not godly.
I'm sorry, Chris.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I'm reminded of a coworker one time that during the election in 2000 she was a LGBT community person, and she didn't want W in there, and she was asked, and we were in a conversation in the break room, and she said, "But Christians are just so narrow-minded." And I said, well, the thing is, Jesus Christ himself is the one in John 14:6 that said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except by me." So you have to take it up with him. It's not, I didn't say those words.
Right.
You know, so.
Chris, when you think about it, I mean, it really just sounds to me more like a political movement than it does a religion.
It is.
You know, because it's just constantly altered by whoever leads the parade.
Well,
it's cloaked in religion.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I look at it. It's nothing but a political movement.
I like that word cloaked, mm-hmm. because that means it's disguising what it really is so that it can take advantage of our First Amendment in order to screw us out of the First Amendment. How wonderful.
Right.
Yeah, that's a religion of God. No, it ain't, not no way.
That's right. Well, thank you guys. And I just want you to know, and I appreciate you guys all this week doing the airing about the True Life Choice. And they're having a big event on November 5th.
Yep.
I actually volunteer. I just came from there today. I volunteer Wednesday.
That's great.
I'm privileged to do that. And they're having a fabulous event with Lou Holt on Thursday, November 5th.
Well, you got the right speaker if it's Lou Holt, so I can verify. This is one of the most interesting, amazing. You'll just love the event.
And
I'm looking forward to it.
He's got a great testimony of his own. You're right. That's True Life Choice, and truelifechoice.org is where you can visit them and find out about the banquet that JJ is talking about. Thank you, JJ, and God bless you for your work.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, appreciate you being out there.
Hey, Chris, you know, that fellow that was here, obviously, was in the service and everything.
Stephen Coughlin,
he did his part.
Army Intel.
Mentioned a little story about a Marine here. You know, I mentioned earlier, the beginning of the show, around 5 o'clock, and recently a U.S. Marine entered the Catholic Church confessional booth in Jacksonville, Florida. And he tells the priest, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Last night, I beat the hell out of a flag burner and a Clinton supporter." The priest says, "My son, I am here to forgive your sins, not to discuss your community service." Now, I know JJ is going out and doing community service. I don't know if she'll run into the Marine or not.
Speaking of the Catholic Church, we have Demetria on the line who wants to talk about the Catholic Church. Demetria, thanks for being out there.
Thank you. Hi, Chris. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I am just like flabbergasted. I don't understand why the entire Catholic Church seems to have just rolled over. Like, don't they get it? I get it. You get it. It's going to be obsolete in another couple of years.
Well, you know, Stephen Coughlin had a phrase, and it was something like a mirror image, where people see the world the way they want it to be. rather than really the way that it is. And I think that this Pope has been drinking his own Kool-Aid over there. And unfortunately, he is being a part of this Chrislam, if you want to call it that, you know, where these are our Muslim brothers and sisters. Let's treat them with respect and let's be nice to them and they'll be nice to us back. And unfortunately, it ain't going to work that way.
No, it's not. It can't be. I mean, I can understand them being that blind, because once Islam becomes Islam, they will be, their heads will be on the block, and that'll be the end of that.
So, oh, yeah, and I would not be surprised if there isn't some sort of attack on the Vatican in the not-too-distant future. You have all of these migrants going into Europe there via Greece and Italy and these other countries, and once they get into Europe, they can travel around pretty much freely. Stephen Coughlin talks about this in one of his YouTube videos. And so, you know, to attack the Vatican, all they got to do is put together a squadron of 15 or 20. Who knows? Maybe they could get in and get to him. And they would cut his head off, and then they would put it on a spike, probably on the front gate.
Oh, sure. We haven't had heads on a spike in a couple of hundred years, thousand years, right?
It, well, that sounds like a menu, well, heads on a spike.
No, and, no, I'm serious.
Two of those, please.
God. But really, they have been doing this. The Islamic State has been doing this over there in Iraq and parts of Syria. So it's, you know, it's here and it's now, and it's scary, and we got to deal with it. Demetria. So, so, but anyway, thanks for the call. And yeah, it's, you're right. The whole Christian church is putting their head in the sand or somewhere else where you can't see from over this whole thing. And it's nothing more nor less than political correctness, and it's suicide. It is absolute cultural and political suicide.
No, I would encourage anybody who listened to the show, they definitely go rehear this individual tomorrow. He's outstanding.
That's right. And if you can't, you can see him on YouTube, Stephen Coughlin, and you spell his last name Coghlin, and unconstrainedanalytics.org is his website. So you can start right there, unconstrainedanalytics.org. And unconstrained analytics meaning seeing the world as it is, not constrained by the way you wish it to
and
be.
Chris, we know these politicians will not give us the type of talk this individual does because they're trying to be elected. I can't alienate my Muslim constituency, even though they may,
you know, Mike,
and then you fill in the blanks.
I wish it were as simple as that, but somehow I get the feeling that it's more insidious than that, my friend. Mm. And bribery comes to mind,
right, you know,
selling us out.
Right, right.
You know?
Right. Parties.
Money goes a long way in Washington, D.C. That's why there's so much of it there.
Blackmail.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Truth goes a long way around here, folks. That's why you find so much of it here. We got more for it to go when we come back. Once again, please help us save the babies. You heard JJ talk about it. She's doing her part. Can you do yours? All you have to do is go to am660theanswer.com or call 800-357-1997. That easy. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, folks. That's right. We're the American Adversaries on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, tonight in Mount Dora is a very special event going on, and it is the Amazing Kreskin. And I'm getting thoughts in my head. This voice keeps speaking to me in my head.
It's
saying,
the force.
Saying, tickets, tickets. We've got a couple of pairs of tickets to give away if you'd like to go see the Amazing Kreskin tonight. If you're going to be up in the Mount Dora area, you don't have to pick the tickets up. They'll be waiting for you at the box office at the theater, which is at the Mount Dora Civic Center. And the Amazing Kreskin is going to be there tonight starting at 7 o'clock. And if you call us now, all you have to do is give us your name. We'll forward that on. And if you're up in that area and close to the theater, would like to see Kreskin, or if you just want to head on up there from Orlando, just give us the name. You might be a little late, but you'll be able to see him tonight. And once again, we have two pairs of tickets to give away, and we'll give away. I'm sorry, it starts at 8 p.m., so you've got plenty of time to get there, all right, even from Orlando, because it's not that far. And the general admission tickets are $20. $23, and the VIP preferred be $28, and I'm sure they'll give you the preferred status. And so be a winner of the tickets on our show. But call us right now. We'll take this. Let's see. How about the third and fourth caller? Last night we had the fourth and fifth. Let's make it the third and fourth caller tonight to get those free tickets to see the amazing Kreskin. And that is tonight at 8 p.m. in Mount Dora. And it's going to be a fascinating event. And he's a fascinating guy. You know, we had him on the show the other night. And, you know, it's kind of hard to admit it, I have to admit, to get a question in edgewise. But the interesting thing is we had three or four questions we wanted to ask him. And he answered almost all of them while he was talking. So maybe it really does work. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And you can see him doing it tonight. All right, in Mount Dora, we got two pairs of tickets to give away. Get them now, 407-774-8255. Third and fourth callers can go see Kreskin for free. All right. Welcome back to the show. Mike McBath has ducked out of the studio to the NFL players meeting. Well, I'll be joining him shortly.
How will we ever get on without him?
We'll figure out a way. Once again, tomorrow night, Catastrophic Failure is the name of his book. You can get that at Doc's Street Side Grill. The doors open for that event, which is free at 6:30. And Stephen Coughlin will be there giving the presentation tomorrow night. And obviously, it's going to be very educational. And, you know, it's not that we take great pleasure in bringing this sort of thing to you, but it's stuff that we got to bring to you if we're going to be true to what we're doing around here. And that is expose threats and follies wherever they appear and wherever they come from. And it was interesting to hear Stephen talking about the Corker bill, because so few people have actually seen the collusion that had to go into passing that bill and getting Barack Obama to sign it, in which basically the Senate allowed him to sign a bill where they gave away their responsibility as senators. That is sinister. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us here, folks. You know, and I'm sorry, but the regular cast of characters are not going to be up to the task of fixing this problem. It's going to take outsiders or an outsider who is bold, bodacious, and daring, and is not going to care whose toes he or she steps on in the process. Now, we got a guy out there who pretty much seems like he fits the bill. And, of course, the establishment still hates his guts. Maybe that's why. You know, we have to be unconstrained analytics ourselves. And we have to stop seeing the world the way we wish it to be, where our Republican friends in Congress are there to represent us. Now, we already have been getting this feeling that they're not, but we might even need to take it a little bit further and say that not only are they just bad politicians, but they're actually colluding with the other side. Now, I've been reluctant to go down this road, but we have to be unconstrained in the possibilities that we consider here.
Time to leave the framework.
Exactly. You know, break out of the box. Connect the dots. And so we have got to take advantage of the situation that we are being presented here with Donald Trump and Ben Carson, because they are the individuals who are going to be willing and able to deal with this. I'm afraid none of the others are going to be, because they're a part of the machine. Ted Cruz, maybe so. But the problem with Ted Cruz is he's already been so cast as a caricature. The perception of him has already been so very well cast. Well, the interesting thing about Trump and Carson is they are casting their own characters. They are defining themselves, and they are being bold about it and unafraid and unapologetic. And that is what we so desperately need. Now, if some of these other fellas or gal want to step up and do that, we'll see. But they sure ain't doing it yet. And I guess there's a lot of other people out there who feel the same way I do, because Trump's still crushing it in the polls. Depending on which poll you want to pick, he's up in all of them. In New Hampshire, pick the poll, he's up. Nationwide, pick the poll, he's up. Carson, up in most of them. Not all, but most. Jeb, up in one or two, but not all. Rubio, up in one or two, but not all. Fiorina, down in most. Cruz, hanging there pretty well, you know, just hanging. Up here and there, up and there.
He's got his dukes up.
He's got his dukes up, but he set his sights low, at least for now. He's going after Rand Paul vote. How many of them are there out there? That ain't too many percentage points in the Rand Paul vote. I guess you got to pick them off where
My
you can
get them. My favorite horse lost this race a long time ago.
Unfortunately, he did. And now, Cruz is a pretty cagey guy, but think about this, too. All us Cruz fans out there have to understand that most of Cruz's money is coming from people you can count on one hand. I'm sorry. And they're not giving him all that money because they think he's going to go in there and do things differently. Now, maybe he is. But he's taking the money from the same people who expect that he won't. So, the real outsiders here, the real ones who are talking sense, and I wanted to ask Stephen, and I will tomorrow night at the event in the question and answer session, is what he thinks about Ben Carson, what Ben Carson said about a president not being adherent to Sharia law, shall we say. You see, that's the kind of talk we need so desperately right now. And the fact that he can deliver it so smoothly and quietly is perfect. You know, Trump and Carson kind of remind me of the guy that he was standing on his roof in the flood. And he was praying to God that God would deliver him with a miracle. And God sent a guy by in the boat, and he refused to go in the boat. And he sent a guy by in a helicopter, refused to go in a helicopter. And then finally the flood overtook him, and he died. And when he got to pearly gates, he said, "Why didn't you save me?" He said, "Well, I sent you a guy in the boat. You didn't go in the boat, so I sent you a guy in the helicopter. You turned him down, you darn fool. What do you expect me to do?" Well, we got a guy in the...
And I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
And we're back. That's right, folks. Thanks again for being with us tonight. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time primetime show on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. We still have one pair of tickets to give away to the Kreskin show tonight. If someone else out there would like to go see the amazing Kreskin in Mount Dora, give us a call right now. We'll just go ahead and take the first phone call. We'll make it easy on Nick in there. 407-774-8255 is the number if you would like to go see the amazing Kreskin. All you have to do is give us your name. We'll transmit it to the folks up there at the box office, and then all you have to do is show up there, give them your name, and you'll be able to go in and see the amazing Kreskin do his thing. All right. Also, folks, once again, I want to thank all you who have been helping us save the babies around here. Salem Media Group has been running this radiothon all week long. It'll continue through Friday, and we want to keep the momentum up as much as we can here and help out to save the babies. Once again, organizations like True Life Choice, these are pregnancy centers that provide sonograms and other prenatal care services to women who can't afford them. Many of these women are considering abortions until they see the child in their womb and was wiggling around and stuff like that. Really seems to have an impression on them. 4 out of 5 women, at least, many times more, will decide to go ahead and carry that baby to term and either keep it or give it up for adoption. So we can help save the babies by going to am660theanswer.com. They got a menu there if you would like to select one of the menu items, if you will, one of the menu donations, or you can do your own. Anything is, of course, very much appreciated. And they have an 800 number you can call if you don't have a computer, don't want to do the computer type thing. Go to Save the Babies at 800-357-1997, 800-357-1997. And they make it real easy for you to help save the babies. And if we don't do it, who will, right? Right? And can't rely on the government, that's for sure. We found that out. All right. I am Christopher Hart, and 407-774-8255 is the number here. And General Lucas Paris has us up on the Periscope. Once again, General Paris, tell folks how they can see, for instance, if they want to see Stephen Coughlin on our show, who was on our show earlier.
What you do is you'd go to YouTube, and actually the fastest way to find us is simply type in Adversaries TV, and it'll bring up the actual channel. Click on it. The newest ones are right at the top.
And people can subscribe?
You can also subscribe, so whenever a new video comes out, you get an alert when you're on YouTube.
Oh, I like that. A big alert. He's at it again. That heart's shooting off his mouth.
Basically, go Periscope depth with us. Periscope depth with us.
There you go. Periscope depth. All right. And he is a general in the American Adversaries Army because he went to our website and signed up, which you can do too, folks. And believe me, it is a big help when anybody signs up. It really gives me a good warm feeling inside because that means it makes it a little bit easier for us to continue what we're doing here. And we have big plans to do more. And so go to American Adversaries. Radio.com and go to the recruiting office and you can sign up. You can become an officer or even a general like General Paris right there. After the show last night, you know, we had Colonel Danny McKnight on the show and Mike in here, and we had Mike Bass, one of our new sponsors, and Jerry of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz and his wife, and we went over with Colonel and his wife, and we had a great meal over at Cafe Positano. And by the way, folks, you can make reservations there for that special event, be it a party, be it just you and your loved person, your significant other, or a banquet. You can do those there as well. 407-774-8080 is the number at Cafe Positano. And great takeout. You like good pizza? Order it and take it out. 407-774-8080. They have casual fine dining and casual and fine dining and a full bar. And, of course, Jerry's Mercedes-Benz is a great place. If you got a Mercedes-Benz, you need to take it there to Jerry's. And we were talking with him last night, and lo and behold, they got machines over there where they can make their own tools to work on cars. I mean, these guys really got it going. They know what they're doing at Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. And they can tell you pretty much without even consulting the computer, pretty much anything about your Mercedes-Benz. And if you'd like a free safety check, take it on over to Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. It's at 551 Econ Circle, which is just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. That is Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. That's jerrysmb.com or 407-366-6499. Just listen to the commercials for that information. But if you got a Mercedes-Benz, folks, and you don't already go to Jerry's, you will be glad that you do when you do. And I highly suggest that you do. All right. Paul Ryan has said, oh, yeah, I'll be the Speaker of the House. This is all you have to do. You have to be totally loyal to me. I want unwavering 100% support from the Republican caucus. I want to change the House rules so that I'm not threatened by the same procedure that you were threatening John Boehner with. And I want the weekends off. Okay. Isn't this the sort of thing that we kind of kicked John Boehner out about? I mean, the problem with the House is that too much power is concentrated in the Speaker's office. That's been the big problem with the conservative caucus. They have felt left out of the equation, left out of the process, because they have been left out of the equation and left out of the process.
Go figure.
Why would they be upset, right? Yeah, no, we just came up here to stick our thumbs in our yangs and then just, you know, and then the other one in our mouth, right? No. They are actually up there to represent us, and guess what? They actually take their job seriously. And, oh, yeah, but there's not that many of them. And that doesn't say as much about them as it does about the rest of the rascals. You see, to me, the conservative caucus, they're the ones who are true to what their job is. It's the rest of the rascals who are selling us out to the doggone Muslim Brotherhood and whoever in the hell else wants to come along and give them a few $1 million or something. No, the scallywags are aplenty. in Congress and throughout our government. They are aplenty. They are the normal. They are the rule. You know, it is the true Americans, unfortunately, who are the exceptions. Talk about American exceptionalism? We got our own sort of miniature version of it going on here. And Pauly, St. Pauly girl Ryan, has sold us out. Now, I'm sorry that he did. I kind of liked the guy. Even after he lost the debate with Joe Biden, I still kind of liked the guy. Not anymore. You know, I've said on the show repeatedly, if Obama were standing in the studio, I'd grab him by the shoulders, yank him over, and give him a kiss on the lips. I'd still do it as bad as he's torn things up. Perhaps in an odd sort of way, we can come out of this on top. But he has decimated the Democratic Party. Just look at the statewide races. Just look at Congress. Just look at what might be fixing to be ready to happen for the White House.
Chaos reigns.
But I'll tell you what, if St. Pauly girl Ryan were in the studio right now, I'd kick him so hard in the butt that he'd wear it out of here for a hat. That man sold us out. I couldn't believe it when I saw him on the talking head shows like Fox's Sunday morning show with Chris Wallace, when he sat there talking about the trade deal and why it was so important to give this president who wants to fundamentally change the United States of America, he wanted to give this president fast-track trade authority. And he had the audacity or the stupidity to sit there and say, if we don't side with the few Democrats and give this authority to President Obama, he'll be a lame duck, and it will be his own party who will have made him such. That's all, folks. Isn't that what we want? Has Barack Obama been doing so much great good that we don't want him to be a lame duck? My God Almighty, that's what we've been electing you fools for, to make him a lame duck. And here his own party was going to do it for you, and you stepped in and stopped him and rescued this man who is fundamentally changing the United States of America. No sirree. You know, I almost say, yeah, let him be Speaker of the House so we can kick him around, but no thank you very much. No, he is a traitor to the cause. It doesn't pleasure me to say that.
It's hard to tell which aisle our friends are on now these days.
Well, you know, it is, but then again, sometimes it ain't. We have to be, how did Stephen Coughlin put it? Unconstrained analytics. Unconstrained analysts. His organization is unconstrainedanalytics.org. You can visit him there. But we have to be unconstrained analysts. And unconstrained means we are not blindly loyal to any party or anybody who stands there and demands that if we want his great services as Speaker of the House, we have to give him our blind loyalty?
It's a hell of a caveat.
Oh, isn't it now? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, sell me another one. No, sir. You don't get my... Nobody gets my blind loyalty. And if anybody gets yours, you're a fool. And I know you're not, because you're listening to this show. You do not easily give your loyalties. You demand that that person prove that they deserve it. And that's what we should demand out of all of our leaders in Congress. As a matter of fact, all of our members in Congress. And when one comes along and says, well, you want me so bad, this is what I want, you kick him in the butt so hard he wears it for a hat. And then you show him the door and say, that's exactly what we don't want, fool. Now we shall see if the Republican Conservative Caucus can maintain its integrity. We shall see. Dan Webster has said he's staying in the fight. He still wants to be Speaker of the House. If there's anybody there who would actually change the speakership and take the power that is concentrated now in the House and begin to spread that out a little bit, it would be Dan Webster, because that's what he did. How do I know? That's what he did here in Florida. He walked into a similar situation in the Florida House where it had been controlled by decades by Democrats, and of course they concentrated power, and he came in and he made it, guess what, a more Democratic place. Who? Did he say that word? Yeah. No, Mr. St. Pauli girl, Ryan. We don't want your demand for blind loyalty, or at least we should not acquiesce to it. As for taking weekends off, you can take the whole doggone week off for all I care. You're worthless to me, sir. You proved that when you rescued this president. This president. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, we can reach across the aisle, you know, in the name of the good for the United States of America. But when has this president ever once done anything in the name of the good of the United States of America? Never. That's when. That's how. And he's going to save his bacon? Oh, wait a minute. Did I say bacon in conjunction with Barack? I'm sorry, Barack. I didn't mean to say bacon in reference to you, sir. I know you might find that offensive, even though I believe you're an atheist. We got a mess to clean up. And one of the best ways to understand how bad that mess is to go to Doc's Streetside Grill tomorrow night. Be there at 6:30 or thereafter. It's free. And you'll be able to see, meet, and hear Stephen Coughlin. You'll be able to get his book, Catastrophic Failure. And if you can't be there, please go to unconstrainedanalytics.org. Visit him there. Please don't go away. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for being with us tonight. Once again, I hope you're enjoying this autumn weather out there. There were some showers out there today. I don't know if there have been any since we started the show, but there may be some wet roads out there. If you're out there, please do be careful. Once again, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and thank you once again for all the help that you folks have been giving to help us save the babies. You know, there obviously we got a lot of hard tasks at hand here, folks, but the ones that we can do something about, we need to do something about. And saving the babies is one that we can, and it's immediate. I mean, the money that you give now goes to help right now save babies in this town. Not going to go elsewhere. It's right here in this town is where this money will be put to work. And I heard a stat on the show earlier when they were doing the radiothon during Michael Medved's shows. Something like 90,000 abortions occur in the state of Florida per year, Nick?
It's 10,000.
What's that, Nick?
It's pretty high. I know we're third most in the country.
Really?
Here behind California, New York. Florida is third.
I believe we had 10,000 was the number quoted.
I think it was higher than that,
still.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they said 90,000. But we all know it's a lot. I mean, we're arguing over numbers here. But
yeah.
The bottom line is we all know it's a lot, and we all know it's too many.
It's not a statistic. It's a tragedy, really. So.
Yeah, exactly. And Save the Babies is a way that we can help out, and they've made it as easy as possible for you to do just that. You can go to am660theanswer.com, or if you don't have a computer or would rather do it over the phone, it's up to you. The phone number is 357-1997, 800-357-1997, am660theanswer.com. And once again, listen in to Michael Medved's show tomorrow and Friday. The radiothon will be going on, and you'll hear some great testimonies and where this money goes and how it is spent. And once again, it is spent in pregnancy centers like True Life Choice. We had Vicki Botsford on along with John Barros on Monday's show. And, of course, you can go to our archive either at YouTube, because you were here Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had it up on the Headcam Monday and the Periscope. Or you can, of course, hear it at and that's Adversaries TV on YouTube, which is archived there. You can see it and hear it. And then, of course, if you just want to hear it, you can go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, where that show is archived. But nonetheless, all of this money goes to these organizations, and they provide these services cost-free to the women who come in these pregnancy centers. Not all the women who go in there are considering having abortions, but they all that go to these centers can't afford other health care. And there's still a lot of us out there who don't have Obamacare or something else. And I know a lot of you who had Obamacare have gotten cancellations. So, you know, the insurance equation, the health care equation is not yet solved. And in the meantime, there is a need, and we can help fill it. 800-35 Let me look at my notes, make sure I get this right here. 800-357-1997 is the phone number. 800-357-1997, am660theanswer.com. Help us help True Life Choice and other pregnancy centers save some babies. And you'll be glad you did, I guarantee you. And I hope you're glad you listened to the American Adversaries radio show. And if you join the American Adversaries Army, I'm pretty sure you'll be glad you did that as well. And you can be a general like General Paris over here.
Hey.
Or you can be an officer, or you can be a recruit. And you choose the level. And it's at our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. The location is the recruiting office at that website. So please do sign up for that. Okay, and let's see, 1 week from tonight will be the next Republican debate, and everybody that was on the main stage last time will be back, with, of course, the exception of Scott Walker, so there will be 10 on the main stage, but it will be the same 10 minus the Scott Walker as it was at the Reagan Library, and that will be a CNBC debate, and yes, Ben Carson and Donald Trump got their way. It will be a two-hour debate, and it will have opening and closing statements. CNBC had wanted it to be a three-hour debate so they could sell more commercial time, obviously. These things are drawing great ratings, and they didn't want any opening or closing statements, which, you know, maybe I could get along with that, but, you know, that is traditionally part of a debate of a political nature, so, changing it didn't seem to me to make much sense. And Carly Fiorina, of course, she had to come out and prattle on about how Donald Trump and Ben Carson, they must not be up to the task if they can only do a two-hour debate. See, Carly, this is why your numbers are going down in the polls. Because you're spending too much time criticizing these other fellows when you should be spending your time selling your own message and maybe criticizing Hillary Clinton, because it looks like Hillary Clinton is going to be coronated. I'm going to watch tomorrow, but I'm not going to get my hopes up tomorrow. I can see this going either way. We could get into some fireworks, but in my opinion, I think what is probably going to happen is the Republicans are going to bend over backwards to show her the proper respect as not only a former Secretary of State, but now as the presumed nominee to be the next Democratic presidential candidate. So
shivers just went down my back.
I hope I'm wrong about that. You know, I was wrong about Biden. I think I was pretty much right about Biden. I'm still convinced that the White House wanted him to get in. I'm convinced that he was on the verge of getting in. And I'm also convinced that he ain't entirely out. Should something dramatic happen to Hillary Clinton, the Democrats sure in the heck are not going to want Bernie Sanders to be their nominee. He's simply there to create space, as Stephen Conklin said, or as we say, he's there as
enhancement
talent. He's there to make Hillary look good, either, you know, more moderate or as a bigger champion. You just pick your way of looking at it. All right, so once again, folks, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We're getting ready to skedaddle on out of here, but please don't forget, help us save the babies. Real easy, go to am660theanswer.com, call 800-357-1997, and help us save a few children out yonder. All right, so certainly hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We will be back, of course, tomorrow night and every night that we can be here. And the more members of the American Adversaries Army we got, the more ammo we got to make sure that we are here night after night for you. So please join us. Don't forget, whatever you do, stay strong and soldier on. We got some monumental tasks ahead of us, folks. Night, everybody.
Opinion. Passion. FM 105.5. AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs.